Hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Welcome to Hey, Julie, a podcast about Big Brother 25. Danielle, how a week goes by and how things change.
My, oh, my, pie, oh, my, as Tony Soprano liked to say.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
That horse.
It is RIP many horses. You know, it has been a week of ups and downs. This is the season. I said this last time, I'm pretty sure. I sent Brett a meme, and I think I posted on our account of "We are so back, we are so over, bro." That is this season in a nutshell. I already know that is. It's a long season too, so we're gonna have a lot of it. We are so back, and it is over, bro.
We're gonna have 6 to 7 more contestants removed from the game.
Yeah, yeah.
For non gameplay reasons, for technical reasons.
And that's the most. I mean, it's an exciting season.
No one has torn a knee ligament. Yeah,
an ACL, whatever.
No one has voted from a hospital room. No one has voted while in oral dental surgery. Like all sorts of things can happen.
Not yet. This cast just has delivered from the get-go and delivered things sometimes you don't want from the get-go.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. I have a lot to say about that. And
okay. You
know what? Quite good riddance to one person.
Yeah.
And I think we'll talk about this part, side of it later. There was an opportunity last night to not have an eviction. And CBS said, Kirsten's a whole lot of nothing. Let's just send her back to Dallas.
I was glad. I mean, no offense to her, but I just, her game was so over. Speaking of so over, like there was nowhere left for her to go. I just thought it would be like keeping someone in their misery, you know? So I was glad. Like, let's keep the game moving.
She was nominated all week. Everyone wanted her out. And she still couldn't muster anything past, like, the most boring scripted DRs of, like, everyone wants me out and I'm going to fight. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the big thing. We just have to get it. And then we can talk about fun things, okay? Is that fair? We have to talk about the big thing. Hashtag Brett was right.
You know what's funny?
I do not want to gloat. Sorry. What is funny?
It's funny. It is such a hashtag Brett was right, but people were saying hashtag Danny was right too.
That's because you market hashtag Danny was right better than me.
Do you think it's stolen valor for people to be congratulating me? I feel like you were even more right than me.
I was incredibly right about this.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want to be clear from the start of this. I'm not taking delight in what happened. I'm not taking delight in the pain that the Black House guests like endured by like experiencing this, that Black fans of the show, non-white fans of the show experienced by this. Again, also, hey, we're two white people. I don't want to speak for other people.
Right.
We saw Corey step in that a little bit after when this was announced to the House. I just want to talk about a couple things from my perspective that I don't even really want to talk about the Luke side of it all. Like, I think this is completely disgusting. Good on CBS for getting him out immediately. But here's the deal. Go back 2 episodes on this podcast, our BB25 cast reveal funathon. The TikTok video that introduces the cast, the first second of the Luke portion, he comes out, he's like, yo, I'm Luke from South Florida. And he throws out the okay symbol, right? The circle between the thumb and the index finger and the three other fingers up. And I called it out on the episode. I said, this is a white power thing. I didn't want to throw too much like oxygen to it, but I'm like, the way that he deliberately flashed that during that thing, it wasn't just like, hey, everything's okay. It was so deliberate, as he said, South Florida as well. All right. Like, y'all know what's happening in the news. Y'all know like who the governor of Florida is. Florida, the state of Florida is issuing travel warnings for liberals. If you're liberal, don't come to Florida.
Right.
So how, my thing is, how did I know in 2 seconds? How did I know in 2 seconds? Maybe my brain is broken because I'm incredibly online and I'm horrified about what's happening in this country, in this world with neo-fascism. And I'm like particularly sensitive to it. But how the fuck did CBS not know? I think this is, we're going to move on. We're going to have an entire like rest of the summer. It's like only the day, like there's like 90 days left. There's still another full season of Big Brother left. We can move on. We can forget it. Good on them for getting him out. But also whoever cast him, whoever okayed him, whoever researched him and did that stuff needs to be fired. I'm sick of this. We had this shit last year with Andrew or whatever the hell his name was. What was his name? Kyle. We called him Andrew so much as a joke. I don't know what his name is anymore. This is disgusting. And if me, just a regular person who watches the news, it was like, whoa, that guy kind of just did a thing that is like really tied to white nationalism. In 2 seconds, how the fuck did you people not know? Shame on you guys for putting him in the house. Like, he's a fucking asshole. Whatever. He can spend the rest of his life with this being the top Google search result when anyone like Googles his name. Fuck him. This really fucking stinks for CBS. And we love the cast this year. But also, guys, Jesus fucking Christ, this is disgusting. And there needs to be like accountability for this. Because how are you letting this happen? Sorry. End of rant. Sorry, Danielle. Go for it.
I think on the bright side is like, yeah, like Brett said, he noticed it very early and pinpointed what it was, where it probably went over a lot of people's heads. I didn't notice that when I watched the video. Like, it was news to me when Brett told me. But I think the bright side is that if that kind of, if that's who that person is, it's going to come out. And luckily, it came out really quickly. So now it's just a footnote on this season. He was not, I mean, this may sound bad. He was not an interesting cast member anyway.
Like, oh my he God, was, he didn't even not, do anything.
Yeah, he's not going to be missed at all. There are so many better people on this cast to talk about, to like send either our good vibes or our like villainous vibes or our messy chaotic vibes. This is why I tweeted. It's pretty much just like, all right, good riddance. I am glad that CBS, I honestly am shocked that they did it. First off, I really thought they were just going to be like, we've given him a stern talking to and like nothing would happen. So I'm pleasantly surprised that anything actually happened. And now they've set a precedent where, yeah, this time actually won't be tolerated, which is good. That's like a good forward momentum for this show and for CBS.
That part is good. Like mini claps, whatever. But yeah, like, sure. Also, don't let this happen. Stop casting fucking disgusting people.
Yeah. No, 100%. So he's gone. Rest in piss. There's so much more to talk about.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Let's do that. I just needed to get that part off my chest because I was so upset
about how, like, I agree, and I'm glad you did.
It was, who this guy was in his soul was quite obvious.
Well, it's like, when it comes out that quick and that easily, I feel the same way when people say, how much is he saying
that shit at home?
Exactly. It's like, if you can say that type of word so easily, it's just clear, like, that's who you are. I mean, that's who you are. That's it. And you maybe don't think there's anything wrong with that. Clearly you don't. So, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. We're
not on my TV.
Where shall we start? Like this happened on Wednesday afternoon.
I know.
And I'm like, oh gosh, there's an episode of Big Brother tonight. I'm like, why am I even watching this?
Oh my gosh. And the episode was like, have you watched the episode? Hashtag BB Casuals.
I'm not that casual yet. It's week one. I've watched everything. Though last night, it was like, first of all, 9 p.m. at night.
Pretty late.
That's quite late for a man of my age.
Of a certain age.
Of the
professor the age group.
Professor, bye-bye, slash bye-bye. And I was like, it was like 8:45, and I'm like, I'm quite ready to go to bed right now. And maybe I'll get up at like 6 a.m. and watch the episode. But I powered through.
I found it compelling in how bad it was. And it reminded me of, like, I saw a lot of comments like this on Twitter. I'm like, I tell people at work that I love Big Brother. And if they watched this episode, they'd be like, we should fire her. Like, just for her taste in TV shows. This episode was so bad. Like,
on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursdays, the live eviction show.
Thursday was so weird because you have like a monumental event in the house.
Yeah.
And
then
to their benefit, I get they made a choice, right? They're like,
yeah,
we're not going to make a big deal about this. We're not going to make someone just
cut and dry. I respect that.
Someone just stepped in the giant vat of dog shit and everything really looks bad. I just didn't know what I was expecting, but I guess I kind of was expecting, like, you know, cold open, smash cut on Julie. Someone says the worst possible thing, like a house divided by racial injustice. I was like, oh, I thought that like they might have been going there. I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying that they might have been doing that. But no, it was just like they don't really reference it at all. And then like right before the segment, they're like, oh yeah, someone got kicked out for being racist. And then they kind of were done with it, which I get. I respect them for that. Yeah.
It may be early enough in the season that we can go through some of the cast, because the last episode we did was just like first episode where we got our first taste of who these people were. It was the live move-in. So
Do you want to just go through?
I mean, I think it might be helpful because here's what we know.
I also think so.
Riley won HOH, right? She won HOH on a balancing beam competition that I would have won. I just would like everyone to know. I would have won.
You have supernatural mother powers.
Red did a very cool backwards flip. I don't know if you remember, but it's like Red is going to be the Jasmine / Turner / like he's just like the character where everyone's like, that's the guy who did the flip, he's got that crazy and beard.
They think they're doing a good job and that they're like catching on with the crowd and with the nation at home. Remember like the butterbean biscuit thing of Jasmine last year, where like she said one kind of funny thing once. And she's like, this is my catchphrase now, you butter beans. That's going to be Red this year. And it's like, not really.
I hope it's him doing the backflip.
Red is like, even in like the week that we played, not demonstrated himself to be a good Big Brother player. Like,
well, he hasn't been bad. I actually will push back on that.
Okay. Okay.
I'll push back on that because this house is filled with people. Like, what's so compelling about this house, maybe it's the older cast themselves. Because as we saw in the episode, it's clearly there's been a divide in the house among the older house guests are all banding together and the younger house guests are all banding together. The younger house guests are the handful and the older house guests are bye-bye bitches / the professors. So the older house guests, the way they talk game is amazing because they basically are like, who are you working with? And then the younger house guests are so stupid that are just not that great at the game that they're like, oh, I'm working with Jag and Blue. Like, they just tell them. But the way they say it is like, but, you know, I love you. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. I watched Felicia sit down with Riley and basically be – Felicia's like, who are your allies? Are you coming after me? Like all these, and Riley just answered it. And I just thought that was so fun. And we're seeing,
we got to talk about Riley.
Okay, let's talk about Riley. Riley was a very, very, I would say sleep deprived HOH.
I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure it happens. I can't remember half of the contestants' names from last year, but I cannot remember a more disastrous first HOH from someone who, like, sorry, like, if you don't understand poker, like, she flopped a freaking, like, royal flush. She, like, got dealt to her, like, a royal flush, kind of, or, like, high suited straight, something like that. And she's wins first HOH, which has historically always been a pretty good position to form a large-ish alliance, which did happen. She did take advantage of that. She didn't even have to nominate anybody. All she did was take two people down. Granted, you're leaving two people up still, but like, she didn't have to nominate anybody. Nobody used the veto. There was a time this week as well where like nobody, where we thought nobody was going home because of the whole Luke thing.
But also, even before that,
she misplays the whole thing so much by constantly being in the HOH room and crying and complaining about the fact that everyone thinks she's constantly in the HOH room, announcing to 14 of the 15 house guests, I'm trying to start an 8-person alliance, a 10-person alliance, doing that, and then completely melting down at the idea that she's not going to be HOH anymore, and like needing Felicia and Ciri and people who aren't even on her team to like prop her up and be like, girl, you're going to be okay. Yeah. Everyone loves you.
What a little great song for the dog for in the elevator.
I know, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you are brave. The dog. I love that dog.
And just all she had to do was like do literally take two people off the block and never go up in the HOH room again all week.
Yeah.
And just be a normal person. And she was incapable of doing that.
She had a hard time. She also, I found it very hard to watch her on feeds because I tried to watch a lot of feeds when they weren't down. And it's just hard to watch her because she kind of reminded me of Kyland, where she just spoke in circles and not riddles the way Kyland did, but just kept saying the same thing over and over again in lots of different ways. And it was just like very frustrating to watch. But I think she really, she dropped the bag. Not only did she not have to nominate anyone, but one of the two people she left up was a unanimous, everyone agreed. It was what everyone wanted. We're all voting Kirsten out.
I completely forgot that one part in my list, yeah.
But even though I'm kind of surprised that none of the younger people were like, actually, clearly Felicia is going to be part of the other side of the house. We have her on the block. We have numbers. Excuse Why don't we me. Vote her out?
Excuse me, Danielle. I know you have some blinders on because of where you live, because you live in the socialist Trudeau Republic of Democratic North America, aka Canada. But there is a person in this house who I was not high on coming into this game. And I have now become convinced they are the game master. And the reason you cannot tell who she is because her name is America. This is my new, this is my zag from the BB community. I am pro America now.
Wow. I like America. I just think she's like, we have a cast of people who either haven't watched the game or don't care because they're just playing like crazy and it's so entertaining. It's so fun. And I think she's a super fan who's playing pretty smart where she's not doing that much. So I have nothing against her. I think she'll probably be more interesting to watch like in a month.
I had something against her just because I don't like boring people and she came across as incredibly boring. But
right.
She was the only person in the Thursday show to be like, okay, so it's clear we have a split house. Kirsten is in no alliance, and Felicia is like one of the two matriarchs of the other alliance.
Yeah.
Why are we not getting her out? And they clearly they were kind of building up to this before the actual eviction after the Luke stuff was over. And the fact that they're kind of like, ooh, should we do this? And then immediately the next segment is the eviction. I was like, okay, well, they actually didn't do it because if they were going to do it, they would have shown them the scheme. They would have showed them pulling in, you know, are they going to pull in Red? Are they going to pull in Bowie? Are they going to pull in maybe a lesser, more fringe member of the professor, Nicole? Are they going to pull in one of those people to maybe flip and get that seventh vote to vote out Felicia? Because they already had six to begin with. All I had to do was flip one person to keep Kirsten last night, which I thought was like a pretty decent opportunity. But the fact that they didn't, I was like, okay, these people suck. But the interesting thing about the sort of handful plus Corey and America, like, versus the professors, is that everyone in the professors sucks at compositions.
I was just going to say that.
One person, we'll talk about that later. But
to be fair, yeah, we're talking probably mostly about like physical competitions. It's not true that they're going to be bad at puzzles. Wasn't Suri good at puzzles on Survivor?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, and we mustn't forget that Jared is a double agent.
Jared is, yeah, that's for sure. You know how I know Kirsten wasn't cut out for the game. And like on Wednesday night, the BB producers were like, are we just going to keep Kirsten here? Or are we going to like let her walk? When she did her post game interview with Julie.
The best. That was great.
She just like didn't have a clue about anything that was happening in the house. And then when Julie was like, Suri and Jared are mother son, she's like, wow, that's crazy. Cause Jared's like not in an alliance with her. And Julie had to be like,
Are you sure? Yeah, sure.
You sure about that?
No, I loved that post-game interview just because it was like confirmation of like, yeah, no, we didn't need another week of Kirsten in the house. Like, goodbye, yeah, good luck, you're beautiful. Enjoy the molecular biology in your swimsuit line.
Yeah, make some more vaccines, baby. Give me some more.
Absolutely.
We love needed vaccines on this podcast.
Yeah, you're needed elsewhere than in the Big Brother house. Yeah,
save lives.
Come on. Speaking of people who are needed elsewhere, but who I don't want to leave.
Yes.
But I don't know if we can talk too much about.
No, let's save that for later.
Okay. Let me talk about my crush.
I want to talk about. Okay.
Let me talk about my crush. I'm just so excited because it's been so long since I had a true crush on Big Brother, who I thought was actually going to be long for the game. Because everyone remembers, obviously, I had my crush on Glenn. Or Summer of Steve. Classic Danny crushes. But this year, I think Izzy, my crush, could actually make headway in this game. Lizzie, why am I calling her Lizzie? Izzy is delivering.
You're so just like obsessed with the Lizzo news.
I know, probably. And another flautist?
Yeah. Well,
she said flautist.
I think that's CBS dumbing it down for people.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just obsessed with Izzy. They had Suri give like her DR confessional, and I was curious about this, so I'm glad they asked her about this because Izzy is on Suri 24/7 in the house. Izzy follows Suri around room to room. Like, Suri is Izzy's best friend, essentially. I don't know if Izzy is Suri's best friend. Actually, I think it's confirmed she is not. But Izzy loves Suri. And she's just so passionate. But Suri
has
passionate
to entertain it too, which is the great thing. Yes. She's trapped. She can't be like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, I was trying to think. It's not. She's gotta be
like,
oh, Izzy,
that's so interesting. Like, I didn't know that you could hit that note on a flute. Wow.
Yeah. It's not like she's keeping Suri trapped in the basement. Like, I do think Suri enjoys Izzy to a certain extent, but I think she also recognizes that Izzy is like, in the best way possible, nuts. Like a character over the top, like can't really hide her emotions. Like I find her very charismatic, very charming. And I think she does have like really good social game. And that's what I think is going to save her. That's why, even though she's playing so hard, I do think her social game will save her at least a couple more weeks. I don't think she's going to be the most extreme target from that side at first. But I'm obsessed with her. I love her. I saw people like complaining about her at first, and I'm like, screw you guys. She's giving us tears. She's giving us fights. She's giving us telling the HOH, let's cut the bullshit. I love her.
She's running around. Like, anytime she's alone in a room with someone, she's like scheming. Even if it's like not one of her people, she's just, she's always in like, in the comic room. She's in the storage room. She's just like, doesn't stop. She's great. She's fantastic. I still would put the money on like pre-jury just because I think she's playing so unbelievably hard that not only the other side of the house, which is somewhat oblivious, has recognized it, but even her own, even Suri, even Felicia, even Heisem, you know, they're like, oh, man, Izzy, she really just goes out there and just does stuff. Yeah. Without anyone's permission or without thinking about it sometime. You
Which
know,
is I, why we love
the,
her.
The most beautiful moment of the season is going to be when Izzy leaves at Ciri's hands, like, and Ciri has to make that sacrifice.
It will be crazy.
Or reverse, maybe. I don't know. Like, the buildup was, you know, you would think that the emotional build up would be towards Jared and Ciri when they inevitably or not are separated by the game. Jared might be Ciri's blood child, but Izzy is Ciri's like child of spirit and child.
That's
of,
the other thing that I'm sure I had made my peace with it last week, but this week I'm actually starting to enjoy. I do think it's kind of fun to have like a mother and son in the house. Like
they don't do anything.
Very, they don't do anything.
Which is fine. Like, you shouldn't be interacting with someone like you're trying to keep their relationship secret.
Right. They're playing well. Yeah. They're playing well. Shockingly, no one else has caught on. Not even Corey, who's like a huge Survivor fan. Yeah. But like, because I can tell that I think Jared and Blue have a little like.
A little bit.
Poochie poochie crush. A little bit. Like eyes for each other. But like what? There's not going to be any showmance in this house. How can you have a showmance?
No, you can't have a showmance if your mom's around.
So it's just kind of like forbidden love.
It's a chemistry killer.
Mm-hmm. And so usually like showmances can add some drama, some intrigue. But like the best thing, what Nora Ephron said about romantic comedies is Eat, like, pray, you don't want to watch, yeah, you don't want to watch a movie, a romantic comedy about two people getting together. You want to watch a movie yeah. about all the reasons why they can't get together.
Yeah.
But then at the end, they overcome. And that's what Jared and Blue is going to be like.
Called Brett's Hinge.
Yeah. So big, I find Blue, honestly, I find all the young people pretty boring.
Yeah,
Blue, kind Jag, of. Riley.
I
oh, Cameron.
I like. Okay, I need to talk about young versus old here for a second.
Okay.
In context of someone else, because they're like, we need to start an old person alliance.
Right.
Well, hold on. Let me back up. There's the formation of the Bye Bye Bitches is happening, which isn't ostensibly old. Like they are older, but it's that's not the quoted reason, and it's. Felicia, it's Ciri.
Felicia, yeah.
It's
Bowie,
and it's Heisem, I think. No, it's Izzy, and it's one other person.
For Bye Bye Bitches?
Yeah, there's five, right?
Well, I thought it was just.
It is only four because they start doing it, and Bowie immediately is like, I gotta get out of here.
I'm gonna leave the room.
Which is weird. Which is just weird.
Yeah. Not great. And then I don't have like, high hopes for Bowie.
We got us. And then like a day later, they're like, the same people are there. And I think like Mimi's there, Heisem's there, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, we got to start an old person alliance for all of us old people. And Bowie's there. And she's, I don't know what she says, if anything, but she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not old.
But I'm everyone's wearing my like, bucket hat.
Babe, look at you.
It's so funny. Like, come join our old people alliance. She's like, I don't know.
I'm young. I am advertised to be the same age as Cameron, who's in the young person's alliance. Like, what's going on here? Why would you assume I'm automatically going to be in the old person's alliance? Because me and Cameron are the same age.
Yeah. And maybe that's why she left the room. She went to scream into a pillow. Who knows? But Bowie is non-existent in the game, I would say. Like, let me run down the non-existent people.
Completely.
Bowie, kind of Red, kind of America.
Red.
And Matt.
Yeah. Red is like somewhat involved considering how much of a nothing he is. Because I think both sides are kind of like, he's kind of been playing both sides a little bit. He's in the old alliance, I think, now too. Right. But he's kind of like, he's really tight with Cameron because they both talk like they do. And Cameron's obviously in the other one. So everyone's suspicious of Red. Everyone has been suspicious of Red since like night one. And he kind of hasn't even really done that much of anything. And yet still is kind of a nothing.
but I think in a good way, the same way I think for America, where he's, despite being like an over the top looking character, he's pretty under the radar. I don't think anyone's targeting him.
Red?
He hasn't rubbed anyone the wrong way. Yeah.
I think he's an easy, like, I don't know. I don't agree. I think he's like an easy nominate him and not many people are going to be upset. Sort of, or if anything, he's a,
but why would you nominate
both sides? If I want to have a bloodless week. I don't want the other side to come after me. I want to nominate Red because both sides are going to be like, oh, he's, I thought he was with you. I thought he was a double agent with you pretending to be with us.
They've essentially had meetings where they're like, we all acknowledge there's two sides of this house.
Yeah.
Red is on one side.
I think
he's not the ringleader.
I think he's not an important player. Settled on the professor's side, but I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that that's where he's there.
Maybe
to stay.
If Corey won HOH, he would do a Red because like Corey wants to play both sides.
Yeah.
And I guess that would be safe for him, but I don't know. I see Red going under the radar. Corey, I want to say, you know, I thought Corey was evil? I just thought he was a little pipsqueak. I still think that, but he's growing on me. He's like a little fungus.
Okay. What he said, first of all, I was feeling that way about him too. I was like, once he survives one week in this house, I actually think he's going to do pretty well. Like he's such a,
yeah.
He's like one of these Michael, Steve Moses type kind of like hyper nerd players who are such an easy week one target. And then they become invisible until the middle of jury. That being said, he's talk about being immature. Like that well, thing yeah. happens with Luke. And then he's like trying to explain it away and speak for other people. Like, shut your mouth. I think it's
he's a kid.
I think it's fair to be like, and maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's fair to be like, hey, I was in the room. I think this is what was said. I don't want to speak for other people. Like, I don't want to speak for his intent with it. I don't want to speak for other people, particularly I don't want to speak for any of my black housemates in terms of like how they felt about it. Like he could have just said that and just been like, hey, I was there. I think this is what happened. I think this is why Luke is gone. But once he starts like implying like intent on something, he almost seemed like he was covering for Luke in a way, which is just not a good look.
No,
so just
no,
don't. Yeah, but that's just like that's just young. Just like that's just not knowing
exactly.
And just shut the hell up.
Yeah, I really think like the reason he's annoying is the reason he's still got potential and I'm sure can grow into a sweetie is he's young.
Him and Bowie, just two 21-year-olds.
Yeah, I was watching Beats at one point and he was like, you know, he's graduating class of like 2020 or something, like something depressing.
He like skipped the year or something.
I don't know.
You mentioned Matt. I want to talk about Matt for a second.
Matt had one of our interesting live moments last night.
Indeed.
Which is when he went in. So Matt is deaf.
Yes.
And he's went into the live eviction, the diary room to vote. Cast his vote. And after he cast it, Julie said, like, thank you. But he remained in the room for a beat too long, maybe a couple beats too long. And I think everyone was like, what's going on? Why don't you guys have a way to let the deaf contestant know that he can leave the room? Because it seemed like production just messed up.
Yeah. A few things. A lot of things, actually.
Okay.
Sorry. Listen to another pod. Last night, we'll go backwards. Last night, I don't know how it works. Like usually, feeds are off all day on or most of the day on Thursday. Anyways, you would imagine this being the first live eviction show that they would probably take extra time to do a dress rehearsal or some sort of like tech rehearsal without Juliana and just the reprisers being like, "Hey, here's where you're gonna sit. Here's when we're gonna vote. You're gonna come in this order. When you're done voting, you get up and you leave and you do that." So I don't know if that. I have no idea if that happens at all. I would imagine it probably. Should. So that should have happened. Let me be mad at CBS casting again. Or maybe let me be mad at CBS production. Good on CBS for casting him. What feels weird about the Matt casting is like they want to go out and say, hey, look at how diverse we are. We're casting people with who are deaf. We're casting people, different backgrounds, really going outside of the 14 white people like aesthetic of BB of seasons BB one through whatever.
Content creators, 19. Yeah.
But with Matt, it's like, he's like, hey, I'm deaf, but I've done a ton of work between hearing aids and speech therapy and lip reading or whatever that I'm pretty good in most scenarios. Matt has said right. a number of times on the feeds, and I would imagine he said this in casting, I can't really hear anything coming out of a speaker because of like the way the frequency hits, and because there's obviously not right. lips to associate the sound to or the muffled sound to, he can't hear coming out of speakers. Why the fuck do you guys not use the TV screen on the living room or the TV screen on the in the Big Brother? I'm sorry, in the head of household room. I'm sure there's a screen of some sort in the HOH. I'm sorry, in the diary room as well. Why the hell are you not putting closed captions on that on those screens? They want to have. They want to be like, oh, look at how inclusive we are. We have a deaf cast mate, but he's actually like pretty good at hearing, so we don't have to do anything. Like, is that yeah. what you guys want? You guys are just lazy. Accommodate him. It's not that hard to put four freaking words on a TV screen. Secondly, yeah. he might not know this, but tell him. Have him stop saying, I want to be the first disabled winner of Big Brother. I'm sorry. Go to Big Brother season one. The first contestant, the first winner of Big Brother didn't have a leg. He had crutches. Stop having him say this. Remember. He said this multiple times.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Eddie. His name is Eddie. He didn't have a leg.
Yeah, he had one leg. No one else remembers.
I know. Breathing One is like a different game than BB's Two and Beyond. But like he yeah. said it multiple times. Listen, I highly doubt Matt is even as old as he probably was born yeah, exactly. after BB1 came out. I'm sure he hasn't watched this season. I'm sure he's a recruit, but like, tell him this. Don't make,
well, there don't you're making him look season. Like he's like
inconsiderate towards people who don't have legs.
They don't count that season.
I no count one it. We all season. Love Eddie. You're, just as Freddie.
Brett is ruining our reputation as the number one podcast for casuals talking about season one of Big Brother. I kind of really feel for Matt. I mean, it really was like bad in that moment in the live eviction last night. But there have been multiple times in during feeds where like, you know, he's having a hard time. It's big groups talking like,
yes.
I don't know. Announcements. I was curious. I'm like, I guess he just depends on people telling him when Big Brother makes an announcement, like Matt, go to the diary room or whatever.
Put a light in every room. Yeah. And the light only goes on if an audio announcement is coming on over the speakers. And if that announcement is coming on, there should be closed caption. That should be a written thing that should be on one of the screens in the house. Even if it's not about him, even if it's Bowie, please go to the diary room, just so he is taking in the same amount of mm-hmm. input, sensory input right. as everyone else. It's not that hard. And the little green light just means, hey, an audio cue is happening right now, Matt, if you can. We can't put like a screen in every room or whatever. There's, you know,
right.
get to one of the screens. There's the screens in the living rooms, the nomination screens, like, it's yeah. not that hard. They just wanted to be like, oh, look at us. Look at how good we are. And then they didn't want to do anything to accommodate him. That part, I think, stinks.
I agree. And we know that they had to have some sort of screen that people read off of in the diary room, because in BBOTT, they did the live diary sessions where they read the questions. Oh, yeah. So it's not like they just plop an iPad with a prompter in there.
Ever made. Yeah. If there isn't a screen, they're going to put a freaking iPad in there. Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a tough moment. Another tough moment last night was the very end where Julie had to use her acting skills.
Oh my God. Where she couldn't use like, them that hard because then she would have to go on strike.
The scary verse bulb started flickering.
Oh, my Lord.
And we had our classic, like, for now, let's eavesdrop on the house guests. But they were all gone. And there was a giant orb in the backyard. This is where I was like, I can't believe I watched this show. I cannot believe I've watched this show for 25 years.
I know. As I was sitting in bed last night, I was like, oh, thank God I stayed up to watch all of Big Brother. Excuse me. Yeah. I don't have to watch it at 6 in the morning. I was just like, that happens. And I'm like, why? Why am I doing this? Not everything has to be an Avenger. Okay. Not everything has to be a Spider-Man. Not everything has to be something like that. Can we just do the show? Like, how you are going to do it, CBS Big Brother, is going to be so stupid and low rent that you guys are just going to look like clowns.
They don't think they went away.
This isn't the end of Infinity War where you're like, holy shit, they just kill Spider-Man?
Right.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
They just killed Karen and Blue, just get sucked into an alternate dimension? No, of course not. There's going to be a Big Brother episode next week. I don't know. Nothing happened to them. Nothing happened to these people. Stop.
We don't have enough faith. If only we had faith in them, then maybe we would think something cool, something interesting would happen, which is like they replaced them all with their siblings. And now it's like a whole new game or something. But unfortunately, no. It was just an orb in the backyard that closed up and disappeared.
All I keep coming back to was like a year or so ago, I was dating someone and it was getting to the point where they needed to know about my interests, my special interests, i.e. Big Brother. And we were watching an episode of, I think it was Celebrity BB 2. Oh. And there was like, remember like the legend of the Mon Juan or the Mon Juan or whatever. And I was just like, we're watching it. And shit. I'm like, yeah. It's, like, it's not normally like this. It's normally good. I'm normal, by the way.
Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Like, what do we want to talk about? The comp where they gave him wedgies? Like, which, Heisam won. That's an important fact. Heisam won the veto. It seemed like a very, very frustrating comp. I was like, I would give up after the third time my thing collapsed. This is so frustrating.
The stacking the flowers and whatever.
Yeah, the stacking of flowers.
I actually give him a wedgie, though. It's not like the underwear.
Have Krista Joseph come out.
The underwear was just like a piece of costume that was attached to the, like this white piece of fabric that was attached to the inside of their pant, clipped onto the inside of their pant, and then clipped onto the whatever hoisting rigging is used to pull them up. So it looks like they're getting a giant wedgie. Give them a wedgie. Make it really uncomfortable. Make their taints hurt.
More wedgies.
Survivor is like drown. Yeah. Drown in the Pacific. Die. Your soul will never escape Davy Jones' locker.
Ooh.
And Big Brother's like, we'd give you a wedgie, but legally we can't. We can only give you the representation of a wedgie. Okay, so let's go on to spoilers. So they came on, the feeds came on, and everyone has been sucked into an alternate dimension, and we don't know where they are. Anyways, you can find us on Twitter at HeyJulieBB. No, there was...
I forgot to talk about Panera Bread.
Oh, there was a lengthy question about Panera Bread, which I guess we'll have to get to. HOH competition happened, and your new HOH...
We don't know what it was.
It was wedgie related. No, so they were in the scary universe. I guess it was a scary verse thing because we have a new HOH who is, we've teased it all day, folks. She rizzed him up. It's Heisam. Heisam is your new HOH. Heisam. And Jared is in an at least as of this morning, an extended scary verse.
Right.
He's been sucked into the underground or whatever.
I do appreciate this. This is what I'm reading. It's like the person who comes in second worst goes to scary verse.
Second place,
yeah. Which is meant to dissuade people from throwing.
What if you throw it early? Oh, not throwing at the end.
Yeah, don't throw it at the end. Don't try to make a deal. Okay. I think, which is like interesting. I don't even know if that's what they meant to do with this, but that is what it is. So sounds like Jared came in second and his punishment is to be in the nether region. They did show him on feeds today. They're not using the memory wall yet, Instead, they're using it to show grainy footage of Jared wherever he is, like in the Best Western hotel room.
In a trailer about 50 feet away from the rest of the house.
And just like...
person there, and like Jared could be like, I have to go to the bathroom, and the person's like, okay, but on these blindfolds, let's walk to a regular bathroom in a building.
I mean, I understand that like being away from the house means you're missing out on like social stuff. It's sort of a detriment to your game, but don't you think like sounds kind of nice? Sounds like a vacation from the house.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds boring.
You get to leave the house.
It sounds boring.
I don't know. You could just take a nap. Who cares? You're not on camera.
No, didn't they say that he's not allowed to sleep in the scary verse?
Oh, I don't remember. Maybe. But, like, that's not true. He's allowed to sleep. They can't keep him awake. Look at what happened to Riley. Riley was almost in Palomaville, honestly, during her HOH.
R.I.P.
They were staying up constantly. But yeah, Heisem won. So this is Heisem's second competition win in 2 weeks. He's clearly going to go the Michael route of, whatever, I'll just keep winning.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, the issue now is, like, he's going to be a target going forward, so he's going to have to keep winning.
Yes. Oh, no. If he wasn't a target from his comp wins, he's going to be a target for the way he is currently running his HOH, which I would like to go on record as saying, I was crying, laughing, watching this. I absolutely love it. I said I had a crush on Izzy. I have a crush on Heisem. Heisem. I keep messing up everyone's names. Heisem.
That's
going to
be on the bingo board for this year.
Yeah, exactly. He's a king among men, the way he's running this. He is just sitting up in HOH. He's like a doc. Like anyone who's had any experience in the medical world where you're going in for your appointment, you're so rushed. The doctor comes in, he's asking you all these questions. You're like, I don't know when the last time I had a green smoothie, like whatever. Yeah. I don't know how my calcium levels are. Like, you don't know, but he's asking you all these questions. He's
writing cigarettes? It, like, for whatever. Why are you lying?
Yeah, like he, for whatever reason, he knows if you're lying or not, and he's writing it down on his little notepad, and then he gets all that he needs from you and is like, okay, great, I'm going to write you a prescription for this. Any other questions? All right, bye. Like, that's how he's like interviewing the house guests.
It's great. It's amazing.
It's incredible TV. Like, if I were the editors, like, you're going to have so much fun with this because it's so succinct. It's not like these long, drawn out, like hour-long conversations that Riley's having. It's so different. He's calling him in. He's like, all right, I'm ready for Jag. He has Jag in. They have a little chat. He's telling them, he's like, listen, we're on different sides of the house. I want to know if you were planning on putting me up. And just so you know, whatever you tell me, I'm going to cross check with all your little buddies down there. Like, he is just going off. It is so refreshing. It is so refreshing. I love the older cast. I love them.
Golden Bachelor, Golden Brother. 39 plus. You got to be 39 plus. You got to be turning 40 during the season or older to be on this.
For your brain to be fully developed in a way that I personally like watching.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a great week. I mean, I think seems like Riley and Cameron are definitely in the crosshairs. I saw a thing about like Suri was coaching Riley up to like completely throw Cameron under the bus. We love it.
We really talked about Cameron. Cameron also like weird.
Cameron also has like a very negative aura around him.
Negative aura for sure.
There's like a maliciousness to how he speaks to other people.
Well, it's like
it's like almost scarier than like Luke. I was like, that guy sucks and is possibly a racist. Cameron's not going to get kicked out of this show, but he does like have like a hitchhiker in his like basement.
Well, it's like that combination. I said this in the first episode before we even saw his video, or maybe I saw a video, but we hadn't seen him on the show or on feeds. There's a combination of like being ex-military and a single, at the time I thought just single dad or stay-at-home dad, where it's like, it's a control thing. First of all, people in the military like are used to strict schedules or, you know.
And chain of command. They're used to chain of command. And like he is installing himself as like the commander.
And yeah, he was with Riley.
Like Riley, he was kind of like, there's like this weird cult leader energy with him, or he was kind of like Pied Piper energy with him last week with Riley. It's I don't like it.
Yeah. So I just think it's like when things we're starting to see this, when things don't go his way, he's not good at handling it when he's in a position where it's like, no, you're actually not in charge. So you don't actually get to say whether someone is going to be on the block or who someone votes for or whatever it may be.
I'm excited to see him squirm this week.
Yeah, so, me too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're all good. Do we have anything else on the current feeds or the episodes, or do you want to go to questions?
I think we hit it, like talking about Hysam is the most important part.
Good. Okay. Let's get to some questions. All right. Tolinator, is Bye Bye Bitches one of the best alliance names that has happened on BB / what is your favorite alliance name?
I mean, other than Ball Smashers, yeah, I think Bye Bye, I have to say it's pretty high up there for me.
Me remembering a historical BB alliance name would have to involve me remembering any historical BB alliance name. I don't remember. Bye Bye Bitches is good. Ball Smasher, I didn't even think about Ball Smashers. You brought it up, I love Ball Smashers. Fantastic one. I'm going to go with that as well. Again, I can barely remember these people's names, like the second the television show is over. And the, I guess it's just like a fun part of Big Brother, but like the reliance on like naming every alliance. And there's like, there's Bye Bye Bitches, which is like the inner core of the professors. And then you have the handful, which I think there's like, which is the inner core of like the larger eight person thing. Cause the handful is only like the Jag, Blue, Riley, Cameron, someone else. I don't know. And like Corey and America and Matt. Yeah. And Matt and Corey and America and like Jared on the outside of that. And that has a different name that either has or hasn't been said. Too much. I can barely remember my name, my birthday.
I know. I feel like I'm proving my casualness by being like, I love the Ball Smashers, I love Cookout, and I love Leftovers. Like all of the names of the major alliances from the past 3 years. I also do like, I did like, I know we all didn't like the alliance, I'm doing finger quotes, but like, I liked the name Girls Girls. That was last year.
That was
like
good
Paloma's
one.
Alliance.
Yeah, that is good.
I liked that name.
Anything that's a little bit like out there, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. But it's like the Wreckers. The Stealth Bombers. Oh,
the
shut up. Who cares?
The Disruptors.
You all sound like a youth soccer team. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Okay. Is everyone ready? We have a question from Matt Steele. It's long. I get the feeling CBS is so concerned with getting the casual viewers to like every single house guest that they water them down to nothing in the TV edit. We had a week one full of passionate players and complex alliance dynamics and fun personal relationships. Obviously, CBS doesn't have time to show everything, but if you're really going to have a segment where Ceri talks about Izzy being a little eccentric, at least show one of Izzy's more cracked moments than the mild moment she had with Riley. There's so much more to this. I was going to read the whole thing, and then because Matt Steele dared me to read the whole thing, it says extra points if you read the entire question. Okay, I'm skipping ahead. Should those of us living in LA go wall yell, not outside the house, but at the wall of production headquarters? Is there a simple, succinct phrase we can scream to give these people the hint that these edits have been terrible for years? Sub-question, has anyone tried the cream of chicken with wild rice soup at Panera yet? Why is it the most underappreciated item on the menu? Okay, so we'll tackle these in order.
Okay, so lots to discuss. I read this question. I think I understand why CBS does it. Is they're trying to be quote unquote fair and also cover their ass, which because it's like, well, they cast this person in the first place. They added in the episode last night, they had this scene of like Luke kind of comforting Kirsten. And it was like a moment of like trying to round out the character, I think.
No, because I think
felt that pretty hollow.
I think that conversation was referenced in the immediate aftermath of like the big It was in the context of that. So they kind of needed to include that also. Like literally Luke would have said no words on the show. They would be like, who is that? Yeah. Why is he saying
who
this?
Who is that? Yeah, I think so. And it was like a generous moment for them to give him, I thought, because he was being nice to the person on the block who feels like everyone's alienating them.
I wouldn't call him, he's not Dr. Hysem. I would not call him having the best bedside manner.
No.
Kirsten's like, why does everyone hate me? Why is everyone voting me off? And he's like, have you tried like not feeling sad about it?
Right. I think that we have to remember, even though we are the casuals podcast for casuals by casuals, like this show, if you just watch the episodes, you would be getting a completely different experience of this show. And CBS makes the episodes for those people who like don't want to be challenged that much, who aren't interested. Like if they were more interested in like the human condition and society, like they maybe would be watching the feeds.
Also, I wonder too if CBS, I'm sure some of this data is publicly available just from like the Nielsen ratings, but like I wonder if the repetitiveness and like just very, very simple nature of the show's editing is like sort of an admission that like even the people who watch 3 episodes a week, that's like a lot. And maybe the average Big Brother viewer actually only watches 1.5 episodes a week.
And they really count on that previously on Big Brother.
Previously, it's like 14 minutes long. So I mean, they know. They know. We don't need to yell. We don't need to answer your question, Matt. We don't need to yell at any walls. We don't need to yell at the wall of the house. We don't need to yell at the wall of the production, of the editing. There's just a guy in there who's editing the show. He's like eating a bag of Funyuns right now. And some producer's like, oh, how about like this little squishy sound when they walk? It's like,
can you make like, the portal in the yard more blue?
More menacing, like, yeah. How about a little doing if somebody falls down? they know it sucks. They know this is what it is. You're just going to like the show, you're not. And many times we don't like the show. I would love to see, remember, I think it was like 2020, 2021, where they're like, Steven Soderbergh is directing and producing the Oscars. We're not doing the Oscars in the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. We're doing them at the LA Union Station where there's going to be cocktail tables. It's going to be weird. Their camera's going to be in weird spaces.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, it was quite a bad ceremony. And it was like the Nomadland Oscars, which is like, good movie, but a snoozer, snoozer, right? Mm. I would love to see a Big Brother season where they're like Quentin Tarantino and like a YouTuber are editing the entire season of Big Brother. That would be cool. Well,
Quentin
Tarantino
is no stranger to directing CBS shows. He did an episode of CSI or maybe more than one.
I think he did an episode of ER. I think he's like always has been in talks to direct an episode of Star Trek, whatever Star Trek is happening. I would love to see the show in the hands of like different producers, different editors. That's not anything that's ever changing on the show because the show is so consistently awful in the same ways every year where even the positive steps they make, you know, i.e. Matt's casting, have these negative things where it's like, man, well, if you actually cared about deaf people, you would have actually accommodated this person other than being like, but you can hear though, right? You know, so like,
yeah.
Whatever.
There was an interesting article in the New York Times about Big Brother this past week because it's the 25th season.
Can you share me a guest link?
I absolutely can. It's interesting because it's like, yeah, it's 25 years. That's a long time for a reality show to run. It has interviews with Julie and the showrunners.
Eddie? Was Eddie asked any questions?
Eddie was not involved. No. Because they focus on the seasons after season one, because those are the seasons that are interesting. They even talk in the article, they talk about how season one was a dud.
Not to me, baby.
But
season one is why there's a Hey Julie podcast.
Yeah, it was long in the making. The executive producers are quoted being like, we don't try to change a lot about this show because it just runs and it's just a workhorse. Like every summer, it does what it needs to do. Like, that's all there is to it. It just works.
It's a vehicle for Target back to school ads.
Yeah, exactly. You know. They clearly are not bothered. They're not concerned about like reinventing the wheel here, especially the way it is, right? The way the show itself, the edited show is. So it's a good read. I'll link it if anyone hasn't seen it.
The most important question, have you tried the wild chicken, barley and rice? Chicken with wild rice soup at Panera.
It's like really speaking to American privilege that you guys keep talking about Panera in the Discord when we don't have that.
We don't have pain de quotidien.
We don't have pain de quotidien.
Do you have prêt à manger?
We have one prêt à manger. We don't even have Paris baguette.
Paris baguette? Who has Paris baguette?
New York has Paris baguette.
Don't let France know about Paris baguette. They're just not going to. They're going to be like, you know, no Americans allowed in anymore. I don't go to Panera. Sorry. We discussed this. I know this is like the meme of our Discord is talking about Panera bread, but like I went once. I got a tummy ache. Danielle doesn't live in a country that has Panera bread.
I think people like you talking about your tummy ache, so they're just going to keep bringing up Panera bread.
I'm 36 now. I'm going to keep getting tummy aches. When you're a baby, you get tummy aches. When you're like a teenager, you don't have tummy aches. You can just eat Mountain Dew and Taco Bell all day long.
Yeah.
Slowly that fades during your 20s. And now that you're deep in your late 30s, tummy ache central till the day I die.
Yeah.
Anyways, on that note, you can tweet us, zeet us at HeyJulieBB, email us at, HeyJulie@BigBrother.com, Discord. At
BigBrother.com.
Oh, shit. Did I say that?
HeyJulieBigBrother@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Yeah.
Maybe I should include that in the description because we say it wrong so often that it actually needs to be physically written out. Because in the description is the link to our Discord where you can talk about your favorite Panera Bread items.
I am still so bullish on this season. I know we're only 2 weeks in, but really? I have to say, I'm feeling great. I feel like the cast, I don't know. There's just so much going on. There's so many great personalities. There's so much game left to play. So I'm really having a great time.
I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. We talked about so much today. We like really solved a lot of issues today that Big Brother does not solve.
Exactly.
I hope you enjoyed it. We'll try to live stream again next week. Didn't happen today because of timing stuff, but that's it.
That's it.
All right. Stay cool, friends.
Bye, Julie.
What do we say? Bye, Julie.
Stay cool, friends.